Old and in the Way Sisters. Laugh and learn with me, Janet.
And me, Nancy. The Bitchin' Sisters.
We're growing old in a new world with skyrocketing costs, crazy fashions, changing norms, and with limited time left.
We'll entertain you and inform you. Let's look back at how it was and ahead to what's coming. All right, listeners, full disclosure, I got married at 75.
Yay!
I didn't really want to get married again. This is my fourth marriage, so I don't like saying that.
Your fourth? One,
I had two husbands in my hippie days, and then Gene, and then he died. Wait. And I thought that would be it. And then now. So I thought this would be easy peasy. Yes, my naive brain thought we'd just go down to the county clerk's and get a license, ask the priest to marry us, and then it'd be done. No, that's not at all how it goes, not when you're Catholic. First, I found out you have to make an appointment to get the license, and they're only open in the morning. Thank goodness I looked ahead online to find that out, and at the same time, oh, golly, I saw a list of everything you have to bring with you, like a valise full of documents. You have to prove you are who you are with a birth certificate, have a document that proves you live where you say you do, such as a current driver's license or electric bill, and a certificate that says my husband died and my other half's divorce actually happened. You both have to know who your parents are, when they were born, and any death dates. It also costs $100. I also noticed that you have to know who is going to marry you. That was another problem. We needed to find a priest who would be willing to officiate the wedding.
Oh, I thought you meant who the groom was going to be. Like, I don't know who. I don't know. I'm hoping to meet someone. But, okay, keep
it's
going.
The other half.
Yeah, okay, keep going.
Our parish priest was on vacation.
No.
So I had to leave a message. And while we waited to hear back from him, we decided to try another priest who we really liked from years ago. He was retired, and after calling him and also having to leave a message, I worried that he might already be deceased because he's 91.
Oh, boy.
And I was talking to an empty void. However, by late afternoon, he did return my call. This priest listened to my story, how we had found out that after living together for 23 years and taking communion all those years, that we found out we weren't supposed to be taking communion.
And what was the phrase they used?
You're a grave sinner, yes, because you know what you're doing and you still do it. So in order to make it right, we were willing to get married. But then we had already paid for a vacation to a military resort along with four other friends. And by marrying before we went, I would lose that military benefit, something I got from my being a widow. And we would, all six of us, lose all the money. So we went on vacation 5 months later. And as soon as we got back, we were going to start the ball on getting married. But I came home with COVID. And another 10 days went by before we could address our goal. The priest, after hearing my timeline of events, said, "You know, I've heard a lot of stories over the years, but this is one of the best," and laughed. I'm glad he has a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
He and I made a plan. Mike and I would get the license and put this priest's name down as the officiant and then meet with him for confession. And then we'd return a day or two later and get married in his home.
Okay.
Step one accomplished. Then the parish priest called 3 hours later. He had gotten back from vacation.
Hmm.
I had to reiterate everything that had transpired during my time with him during confession in April. And I told him all about the trip to Germany and COVID, and finished by saying our good friend, another priest we knew from years before he was our parish priest, had consented to marrying us. Well, I kind of worried how he would feel about it, but he took it all in stride. And he even commented that he had a very special place in his heart for this priest.
Oh.
Then he told me something I didn't know. He said we'd have to meet with him and fill out the prenuptial form that Catholics must fill out prior to marriage.
No
idea. No, me either. So I said, "Can we do this soon? Because I've been, abstaining since I got back. We need to hurry this along."
abstaining.
And he laughed. I go, you know, he's not a priest.
Yeah.
So the very next morning, we sat down with the priest, and in an hour, we filled out all the necessary blanks with our information. I was thankful I had Googled prenup forms for the Catholic Church online, because then I got to see what kind of information we would need to bring to him. So we both came prepared, and it went very smoothly. He will now file it away, and that's step two accomplished. I was on a roll until two friends shared their experiences with me. One who had recently married said to be sure I could get a new Social Security card. You didn't know this, since you're only allotted so many in life.
What?
Yes, I didn't know it either. With all my name changes, I was glad she warned me about this. So I have an email into our town clerk to figure out if I am eligible for early voting. Another, whew. These are both good bits of advice, and I sincerely appreciate their input. But boy, all this paperwork is starting to wear on me. I can see why name change is for a woman. Any man would rip it into shreds and just stay with his given name.
Yeah.
Step three is to make...
What? More steps?
Oh, my. Wait till you hear. Step three is to make the appointment with the county clerk to get the license. We secured a 9 a.m. appointment and brought all the information required, paid $100, and we were done. In 4 days, we can pick it up along with any extra copies we need, at a price, of course, $20 for the first one, $3 for any additional ones.
Ooh.
Hey, I ended up paying $62.
Ah,
yeah.
I can't imagine.
As you get older, you have more places
papers.
You have to
okay.
let people know.
Okay.
Step four, let the priest know the wedding date we gave the town clerk. We called, and he answered right away and said he was free on that date and time. He also suggested we have confession with our local priest, which, okay, we agreed to. Step five, decide on two witnesses. This is hard for us because we're both Libras, and we have a hard time making decisions. Usually it ends up with, I feel strongly both ways, which is exactly what I said when the other half suggested two couples. He asked me two more times, and finally I said, call your brother. And fortunately, his brother agreed, along with his wife. This was all done in the car, on our phone. And all of a sudden, we figured step six would be to call the local priest about confession. But on the way home, guess what? He called us, and he asked us who our witnesses were. Ha! We had just found our witnesses. Then we asked him for a date for confession, and voila, that coming Friday, he was doing confessions at 11 a.m. Wow. Three steps done inside of 10 minutes.
It goes on and on and on.
Confession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell me everything, Nancy. No one's listening.
Step seven, confession. This was actually gratifying, actually. We met the priest at the rectory, and he met with each of us separately in a small chapel converted from a bedroom. It was the culmination of 5 months of us wrestling back and forth about our plight, and finally, it was almost over. For me personally, I felt like, well, you probably don't know this about me, Janet, but I felt like I was roaming in the desert for a lot of my life with no purpose, no focus. Then Jean came along and pointed me in a direction that I felt at one with God. I enjoyed that relationship until Jean's death, and then I started to roam again. Finally, after 23 years, I'm back in alignment, and I once again feel whole. Thank God I'm still alive to have found my way back. Step eight, pick up the marriage license. 3 days later, we stopped by the Register of Deeds and picked up the license. I mean, they really give you time to think if you really want to do this. Crash.
Apparently.
Crash. Crash. How could the happiest day of our lives be filled with so many tears? Who would have expected this? Just 5 days before the wedding and our world turned upside down. His son was arrested, and there's nothing we can do about it. All of a sudden, emotions gutted us, and we had no room for any wedding, only grief. We called the priest and our witnesses and explained why we had to postpone our wedding. I did the best I could to support the man I love, and I did fine for the next 3 days, and I thought I was doing a pretty good job. I didn't really think postponing the wedding was a big deal. The wedding was going to be on my birthday. So the day before the wedding date, I decided to make myself a birthday cake, and I got out all the ingredients, and then I just stopped. I couldn't do it. There was no happiness in me, just emptiness, knowing we weren't going to be getting married on the day we were counting on. I put it all away, all the ingredients. I sat in the bathroom, and I had a small pity party. I couldn't let him see me in a weak moment, but he knew. He came over and sat next to me on the couch. It didn't take, you know, I was sad. It was a moment we shared. Then he asked if he could buy me a cake. No, thanks, I said. Could he take me out to eat? I said I didn't feel like pretending we were having a good time. But I had bought some things to make a German meal for us from when we went on vacation to Germany.
I understand.
Could he make them? He asked. Yeah, you could, I said.
He's a nice guy. Yeah.
So we were doing things to keep ourselves busy, too, like we have for days now. He's out in the garden. I'm typing down my thoughts. Then I'm going for a walk. Let the fresh air and sounds of birds ease our souls. Be mindful that we have every day to be grateful we are here. For 23 years, I have been grateful, and I didn't need to be married. I've certainly felt married all these years. It will come, and when it does, we will be happy again. The day before the wedding, I had a weird dream the night before about wanting to go swimming before I got married and finding two sculptures in the water, each about 2 feet long. I wonder what that meant. In the morning,
just
I made
a crazy dream.
I know. In the morning, I made the wedding cake.
Ho ho.
I like my wedding cakes. My very favorite rum carrot cake with buttercream frosting. It turned out fine, and I had permission from the restaurant to bring it in. Then I worked outside all afternoon in a beautiful, sunny, 62-degree day. The frost from the night before killed off the remaining plants, leaving me with a lot of work digging them up and recycling them. Meanwhile, the other half had a hair appointment, which he was nervous about, lest the stylist butcher his hair and leave him with a crew cut. But she did a good job. Then he went for a motorcycle ride, leaving me to wrap his wedding present up. Can't wait for tomorrow. The morning of the wedding. It was a rough start for a wedding morning. He wasn't expecting a wedding present or card, and he put the chocolates in the gift box in the fridge for later. We went for a morning walk, which was wonderful, and he gave me a small rock he found with the words Sparta Rocks on Facebook. That's an ongoing gift of giving in around town. And then we did errands and made a light lunch while we watched an old episode of Gunsmoke. He always told me that after we got married, we'd go home and watch Gunsmoke and take a nap. So I guess we were early. Then he found me sitting on my three-sided bench in the Zen garden, and he joined me to observe nature. We went on with our daily activities as usual till about 1. He came out of the closet holding 3 different shirts and asked me which one I wanted him to wear. Oh. Wow, I thought, he's finally getting interested now. Mm-hmm. Then he shaved, took a shower, and started putting on his wedding attire. I had been putting off this moment, but now I guess I should also get ready. It was kind of weird, you know, to get ready in the same house as the groom.
Yeah, I suppose.
He used his bathroom at one end of the house, and I used the bathroom at the other end. We met in the living room and took in each other's new duds and commented on how lovely we both looked. A kiss and we were ready to do the deed. The wedding! As we drove down the driveway, 4 deer were sunning themselves on the edge. A good sign, I figured. We met our 2 witnesses, Mike's brother and his wife, at a designated place, and then we proceeded to make our way to the priest's house. He was so amiable. We sat in his living room for an hour, just conversing back and forth.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, and just to kind of get to know each other. And then we stood to take our vows. Both of us were so proud to be finally cementing a 23-year relationship. 20 minutes later, we were at a restaurant and enjoying the ambience and friendship of our friends. I laughed because only the priest and I ordered alcohol. He had a beer. I had a glass of wine. We celebrated with the homemade carrot cake Mike brought with us in a cooler, and we even gave the waitress a piece. When the bill was presented to us, instead of a bill, there was a card. Inside it said the entire bill was being paid for by our dear 4 Yellowstone friends we had just returned from spending 2 weeks in Germany with.
Oh.
What a wonderful surprise. Yes, this was...
Since you went through hell to get to this point.
This was quite a journey. Yeah. It had its ups and downs and even an unexpected reschedule thrown in. But we did it. It's now official, and we're starting our new life together as a married couple. I wonder what the next 23 years will bring.
Well, happy ending. Congratulations to you both. And I doubt that you will ever be doing this again.
You're right.
Okay.
Janet and I come to you twice a month with new episodes. Some are funny, some are serious. Some are just our crazy opinions. I hope you enjoyed our show.
Me too. It's been a pleasure. Music by Hall and Sidnor.